We thank the Lord for the privilege of presenting another Way of Truth broadcast, and we're certainly thankful that you are tuned our way. We invite you to stay with us, for we desire that this broadcast service be a real blessing to you. The Way of Truth broadcast originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America, and this is Alvin A. Craig speaking. We open the musical part of our broadcast service with the selection, We Shall Behold the King.
Deep in the night, the angels were heard, singing a sweet melody.
Many speak of Christ as a coming king, and of course he will come again to judge the world in righteousness at the judgment, the end of the age. But Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords now. And I'm so thankful that I can own him as my king. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of presenting this broadcast service to this precious people today. We're thankful for each one. We ask the blessings of God to be upon each one. You know their needs. You know their situations. We're glad that you love each one. You're interested in each one. And we're praying that you'll minister to each one. We pray that you'll take us in this broadcast and make it a blessing to souls for the glory of God and for the good of their souls. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's always an encouragement to us to hear from our listeners, and we would be thankful if you would take time to let us know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast. And at the close of our broadcast today, we will be giving you our mailing address. In the meantime, we'd like to invite you to visit our webpage, where you can listen to a number of our broadcasts and also read our monthly magazine. And our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org. www.wayoftruth.org.
Do you know Jesus, our Lord and Savior? Jesus, the Son of God, have you Jesus, the Son of God, how I adore Thee, oh, how I love Thee, Jesus, the Son. Our
thoughts today are entitled, Why Was It Necessary for Jesus to Come to Earth? Why was it necessary for Jesus to come to earth? There are those who believe that Jesus was a good man. Some believe that he was a prophet, but not the Son of God. There have been good people down through the ages, and there have been prophets, true and false, down through the ages. So why did Jesus need to come into the world? Well, first, let us consider the fact that mankind is not like the beast of the field or the animals in the forest. No, I know that whenever they speak about the various parts of the earth, minerals and vegetables and animals and so forth, they put man in the class of animal. But God made the animals, and then after he made the animals, he made man. So man is not like the beast of the field or the animals in the forest. On the first day of creation, God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowls multiply in the earth. According to Genesis chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. But on the sixth day of creation, God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Genesis 1 and 25. And after creating all these things, giving them life, making male and female, so that they could bring forth their own kind, then God said, Let us make man in our image. Please notice this, because God is not an animal. Then God said, Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the earth, or the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God made man in his own image, and he gave him dominion over all of his previous creations, as far as the animals, the fowls, and so forth. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Now in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, we are told, The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Nothing is said about the various animals God made being made in the image of God. Nothing is said about them being a living soul. only about man is these statements made. So I repeat, mankind is not like the beast of the field or the various creatures in the sea. Man is God's highest creation on earth, and according to the word of God, man was made just a little lower than the angels. Angels are spirit beings, and that's why we would say that man, who is flesh and spirit, was made just a little lower than the angels. Now, some disbelieve that man has a soul or a spirit in him. That is not merely just his breath, but we believe and teach, the Word of God teaches, that man has a spirit which is separate from the flesh. In other words, man is a twofold being. But the Scriptures declare, there is a spirit in man, and that God is the Father of spirits. We are also told by the Apostle James, the body without the spirit is dead. When God placed Adam in the garden, along with his wife Eve, they were free to eat of every fruit bearing tree in the garden, except one. Adam was informed, and he in turn informed Eve, that if they ate of that tree, they would die. And in the day they ate of that fruit, they did die. Yes, Eve ate of the fruit, she gave to her husband, and he did eat. And just as God had told them, in the day that you eat of the fruit of that tree, you shall die. And so they died. Not physically, no. In the due course of time, Eve yielded to the tempter and ate of the fruit of that tree and also gave some of it to Adam, and he ate. But did they die physically that day? No. God had said, in the day that you eat of the fruit of the tree, you shall die. But did they die physically? No. No, they died spiritually. And that simply means they were separated from God. To be separated from God is to be separated from the source of life. For he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And so they died spiritually, for spiritual death is separation from God. Again, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, according to the Apostle John in 1 John 5:12. So sin entered the family of man. Sin brought death, not only to Adam and Eve, but it brought death to the entire family of man that was to follow. Sin brought evil into the heart of man. Jeremiah the prophet said in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Once man sells himself to sin, he becomes a slave or a servant to sin, and he cannot free himself. Once he dies, he cannot resurrect himself. He cannot give himself life again. It has been said that one religious teachers that they do not believe that God is so weak that he cannot forgive one without a blood sacrifice. Yes, there is a religion. It isn't just one religious person, but there is a religion that teaches that they do not believe that God is so weak that he cannot forgive one without a blood sacrifice. What a misconception of the gospel. God giving his only begotten Son to be the Savior of the world is not a sign of weakness, but of strength. It took strength, it took grace for Almighty God to allow his Son to be treated the way he was and finally crucified on the cross. So the idea that God would not be so weak that he had to have a blood sacrifice is a grave misconception of the truth of the gospel. He has the power to do whatever he desires to do, but he never uses his power in a sinful or a wicked way. Sin had been committed, wrong had been done on the part of man, justice demanded that a penalty be paid for the wrong done. Now, let me repeat that, because this is very important when we think about why Jesus Christ came to this earth. Sin had been committed, wrong had been done on the part of man, and justice demanded that a penalty be paid for the wrong done. But there was no way that man could pay. No, there was no way that man could pay. The debt was too great. What then was to be done? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So Jesus tells us, as recorded in St. John chapter 3, verses 16, 17, and 18. Now Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, came into this world to pay the price that we could not pay. The word redeemed means to bring back, to buy back, as a person would buy a slave for the purpose of giving them freedom. Now, we do not think of the word redeemed in the light of one man buying a slave from another man that he might continue to have that man as a slave. No, the word redeem carries with it the thought of buying back, of bringing back a person with the thought and with the intent of giving that person freedom. And that's what is really meant in the Bible when it speaks about Jesus Christ giving himself to redeem us. The Apostle Peter informs us, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation or your manner of living, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. And please notice, Peter says here that we were not bought with gold or with silver. There's not enough gold in the world to purchase one soul. There's not enough silver and gold combined to purchase one soul. But it was and is through the precious blood of Jesus Christ that we are purchased, that we are redeemed, that we are set free from a life of sin. Jesus was without sin. Therefore, he could, and he did, pay the price to redeem us without blemish and without spot. The Apostle Paul says of Jesus, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, or a separate people, zealous of good works. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Jesus tells us, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. John 8 and 36. It was necessary for Jesus to come to earth to redeem man from his sinful ways, for there was and there is no other way, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So Paul informs us in his letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. It is a shame and a disgrace in my sight and my thinking what many people are doing today, supposedly celebrating this holy event of the coming of the Son of God. It is such a sacred, such a meaningful thing. It is a shame and a disgrace, I say, the way some people celebrate this particular holy occasion. Beloved, the Son of God came into this world not to make it possible for us to revel in sin, but for us to be delivered from sin, from its power and from its bondage. For whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the love of God that brought Jesus into this world to be our Savior, to be our Redeemer. And we're also thankful that Jesus Christ tasted death for every man, and that whosoever will may come and drink of the waters of life freely. We pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. May the Holy Spirit convey the word, and may good be accomplished. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We trust that it has proven to be a blessing to you. If so, why not write and let us know? It would be an encouragement to us if you would take time to let us know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast. If you have a prayer request that you would like to share with us, we trust that you'll feel free to include it when you write. And our postal address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That address again, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net. We also have a fax number, 301-739-7173. Our fax number again, 301-739-7173. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. Remember, you can hear a number of our broadcasts on our webpage. Also, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine there, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for listening to our broadcast. We invite you to tune in next week when again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the blessings of heaven rest and abide upon each and every one of you is our prayer.